Lee, what's the attitude going into the very last game of the season? Will you treat it like any other league game, or will there be any experimentation, any changes at all? What's your thought process going into the game?
Try and win the game. So the same as, I think, you know, we've become big on building momentum and habit forming and, you know, being the best version of yourself every day. So I don't think you can turn it on and off or, you know, change things too much. So there'll be a couple that are enforced with, you know, Hayden Roberts's, Pringy's had minor surgery, as has JMO. So in terms of them two, they won't be available. So that again provides opportunity. But I think in terms of the mindset, the lads have, I just saw it just there, we just finished training now. The attitudes, the competitiveness, the drive, the intensity that they worked at today was top. So again, I think that in terms of for the group is something that we definitely need to take into Saturday.
And has the carrot of ending the season on an 8-game unbeaten run, has that added a bit more weight to the match, do you think?
No, possibly. I think it's taking it game by game. I think that's the biggest bit. I think it's, you know, of course, look, the run's great and we spoke a lot about momentum and I think it's about taking the experiences. So it's a different experience for us as a group to go this long unbeaten. So we want to continue it. I think that's the bit that, you know, will definitely stand you in good stead for next season if you reflect on, you know, on the times that you have, good, bad or indifferent, and use it to become better and use it to learn to improve. So, like I said, the lads have been terrific, you know. Throughout, even in the tough run, they were training properly, they were doing everything. That's why I was quite confident that they'd turn it around and go and, you know, hit the level that they have done in the last, you know, however many. So I think it's about, you know, continuing that.
Yeah, when we spoke to Brian Tinian a couple of months ago, he said, 10 points, we just need to get 10 points more next year and we'll be challenging for the playoffs. Has this unbeaten run shown you that you're capable of being consistent? Because you told me last week, if we're more consistent next season, we'll have a successful season.
Yeah, there's a huge number of factors that go into it. I think, you, of course, that. I think, you know, like I said, we need to recruit right in the summer. We need to, you know, make sure that we have a real strong pre-season, which, you know, I'm really looking forward to. And then I think, you know, you need a bit of luck along the way. You need people to stay fit. You need, you know, things to land your way at times, as well as obviously doing the hard work every day. So even this season, we've shown we can compete with anybody in this division. I think that's the challenge, is can you do it consistently across, you know, 46-game season, which is, you know, the biggest challenge for any side. So I think there's that. I think there's how do you respond to defeats. I think there's how do you respond to going on, you know, winning runs. And I think they're the bits for me that we've tried to kind of go after a little bit this season that will hopefully help us next season.
And how have you changed? What have you learned? If there's one thing you've learnt being head coach of Bristol City since first walking through the door, the tail end of last year?
Oh, I'd need a bit of time on it. I think that's the stuff, that's the reason for going away in the summer, to look back and reflect. And of course, I'd have learned lots of things. I think that, like I said to you before, I overanalyze, I reflect on everything. So again, I think for me, it'd be going away. And of course, I've learned a lot about the division, learned a lot about the group that we've got here, you know, the culture of the club, the way we operate, the way we work. And again, I think when you come in, you always come in with your own ideas, your own philosophies and ways of working. But there's also certain things that I have to adapt and tweak, you know, to fit with a group of players or fit with, you know, the culture and the expectations of the club as well. So I think, yeah, that I'll spend some time in the summer going away and reflecting on, you know, what I've learned and what do I take into next season so that I'm better.
So the final whistle goes at Stoke at 2:30. I'm sure it's not just a case of, right, see you at the start of pre-season. How do you spend the next few days after the Stoke game?
I got my son's birthday party on Sunday. he's having that, so I'll definitely be at that. And then I'll be in a few days next week. So, you know, I'll be in with, you know, various meetings and finalising certain bits and pieces. So we'll do that. And then obviously it shifts right into recruitment and making sure that, you know, we do as much as work as we can. And of course, even for me, the rest element's important. So we've obviously got a big charity walk coming up as well the week after Stoke. So in terms of putting myself for a 24-hour walk, which obviously is going to be you know, a good challenge. And then, yeah, some time with the family and recharging, ready to push on next season.
And it's only right we mention that. I'm sure you're still looking for some sponsorship.
Indeed we are, yeah. So the more we can raise, it's a fantastic cause. The hospice, obviously just down the road from me, is an incredible place. I know there's been some bits put out recently of our visits. And it's something that we want to support continuously going forward. I don't want it to be a, you know, a one-off. I think it's something that, you know, we want to give back. We're privileged. I think it's, like I said, it's an incredible place. It does some incredible things. So, yeah, you know, there's 10 of us going to do the walk and hopefully we can raise as much as we can.
I'm happy to give that a plug. When can supporters expect to see the retained list?
That will come out. Obviously, need to finalise the definite dates, but obviously that'll come out at some point, I'm sure, in the next week.
And you mentioned recruitment. I imagine do you have to be quick off the mark? Because a lot of clubs, I guess, will be in competition for the same players. How close are you, do you think, to going in for players, if you like?
Yeah, I think we're doing a lot of the work. I think, you know, people finish at different stages, so you obviously have to take that into account as well. the conversations are constant. They ramp up a little bit, obviously, now. But in terms of, you know, you have to go through the right channels. You have to do things properly. And again, it's such a fluid market. It can change so quickly. So the conversations are constant, ongoing. And obviously, we're ready to move quickly as and when is the right time.
And is it fair to say you've got a plan A, a plan B, a plan C?
The recruitment guys are constant in terms of, you know, that. You see the volume of work. I get a weekly report that tells me all of, you know, the games that they've been to, the players that have watched, the, you know, the grading that we do. I sit with Sean regularly. Me, Brian and Sean sit down regularly. So them chats are constant, I think. And that's the bit what you have to be smart with how you work the window, of course, having plan A. But what you don't want to do is wait right up to the last minute. Plan A doesn't happen, and then you find yourself in a position where you're ending up with plan E. And I think that's the biggest bit. I think you have to commit the time and energy into getting the exact ones you want. But, you know, if it's looking like it's, you know, not going to happen, or it's, you know, a challenge too far, or, you know, unreachable, then you have to at some point make a decision to move on. So again, I think that's why I think it's about being proactive in the window, which we definitely are. And then it's, you know, there's a big skill set in being reactive as well.
So, I mean, life's never like a dream world, but ideally you'll have some signings in the building for the start of pre-season training.
Yeah, ideally. I'd like to. I think it helps. I think, you know, the way we work pre-season and, you know, integrating in the group, the social side, players understanding how you want to play, what you want to do, what their roles and responsibilities are, the earlier you can get them in, the better. So, yeah, ideally we're, you know, I'm hopeful that we turn up at the start of pre-season with some new faces.
You're someone who keeps your cards close to your chest, and I fully respect that. But is it a fair comment to say you would like to keep Scott Twine?
Yeah, I would. I think it's, as I said about it after the game at the weekend, in terms of, I thought he was excellent. I think he was unfortunate with the injury. I think, you know, he obviously started terrifically against Watford. Then he was out for such a long period when, you know, coincided with us having a little bit of a tough time. And then since he's been back, you know, he's, understandably, it's taken him a few games to get up to speed. I thought he was very good against Norwich, and I thought he was very good at the weekend. So I think we're starting to see, you know, the qualities of why we brought him in. And you know, he fits the group, he fits the profile. But like I said, at the weekend, there's so many permutations, there's so many factors that go into whether it's possible or not. So they're the bits that, you know, especially after Stoke, where, you know, you then go, right, is it possible?
And has your relationship changed at all? Is it the same from when you were at MK Dons, or has it picked off where you left off?
Yeah, it's probably you'd have to ask him that. From my perspective, I think in terms of how I work with players, I'd say it's fairly consistent. You know, the thing is always a balance, and Twine is a great example of that. You want him to play the positional game, but he's at his best when he's got freedom off it. And I thought he was excellent at that at the weekend, where he's the spaces he takes up, the creativity in terms of the things that he tries, and especially with that, what I wouldn't want to do is stifle a player. So I think in terms of he understands, especially out of possession, his role, his responsibilities, which, you know, everyone talks about his in possession. He actually puts in a real shift when we haven't got the ball, and then in possession again. I think you can see with you know, I think he needs to play with an element of freedom, and when he does, and, you know, when his quality is right, he brings others into play, like Sykesy, like Tommy. You know, you see them guys, the chances they've had off the back of, you know, moments of him.
He's at the club on loan. Is the loan market something you'd consider using next year?
Yeah, possibly. We wouldn't rule it out. I think, be quite clear, we'll always look in-house first. We'll then look permanence. And then if, you know, we can't get what we need in those markets, as we did with Twiney, we then looked at, you know, the loan market, and whether that's a loan, ideally with, you know, the option of making it permanent, or, you know, if none of them options are available, then if you have to take a loan, then obviously that's kind of last resort. But, you know, I think we have to be open to it, just, you know, if we want to build a side that is progressively moving forward and, you know, competing.
Minor surgery, you were saying, for Cam Pringer and Matty James. How does that impact their summer? Does that mean that they have to be here on the treatment table while all the rest of the players are on a beach?
Yeah, they need a break as well. I think, you know, that's for the medical guys to obviously make sure that they get the program they need, their rehab properly. So, yeah, their plans are designed specifically for them. The same as the Rob Atkinson, the Sam Bells, Cal Naismiths, Eamon. They'll be getting a program that's bespoke to them. And of course, they'll have to be in for periods to make sure that we want as many available for day one of pre-season as possible.
Yeah, I saw Sam Bell in the car park last week. Big smile on his face. He never changes. In terms of the players you mentioned, we don't want to put unfair pressure on them, but how likely they'll be available for the start of next season?
Yeah, that's the plan at the minute. I think, you know, if they've actually got a little, probably more time on the end of it, then, you know, it's not a rush to get them back. I think we can actually be a little bit, we've got a bit of extra time with the off season, which helps. So, you know, we've sat down, we had some meetings around what their off seasons look like, and they're working quite tightly together, Rob and Belly, and again, I think that's probably been a big plus in that they've been able to support each other through, you know, the challenges of sometimes rehabbing. So hopeful and like I said, looking forward to getting them back pre-season.
Well, we see Zach Viner on Saturday.
Zach trained today, so yeah, he'll be available for the weekend as it stands.
And for the last time this season, let's assess the opposition. Stephen Schumacher's come in and I think has steadied the ship. They're on the up, it would seem.
Yeah, he obviously did a terrific job at Plymouth. I have to say, enjoyed how they played. I thought he did a really, really good job there. And he's obviously made the move to Stoke in season, which I can relate to. It's not always easy in terms of getting your ideas, your ways of working across straight away. And that's the bit, I think, you know, he's shown that he can obviously adapt to the group that he's got. And, you know, I'm sure he'll obviously have a busy summer in terms of building what he wants it to look like. But I think in terms of, when you look at, you know, them in terms of they'll be hard to beat. They've got qualities themselves. Like you said, he's done a really good job of, you know, stabilising them.
Thank you.
Cam's surgery, I presume that's to do with the kind of the little niggle issue. He was sort of back end of the season, or sort of second half of the season.
It's just hernia. It's nothing major. It's just hernia. Just this opportunity to get it cleaned up quickly, and obviously, you know, give him a rest, and also, you know, get him right for day one.
excuse me, Matty's injury?
Similar, to be fair. He had surgery a little while ago on one side and not the other, hernia. So it's almost like a buy one, get one free, I think, in terms of he's gone in and he had previous with other little bits and pieces. So he's had a bit of a clean up as well as the hernia repaired.
Obviously, him not being available for Saturday, his future very much up in the air. There's an obvious sort of conclusion to be reached that he's played his last game for Bristol City.
Not definitely that, no. I wouldn't say that. I think, you know, I've got some more meetings this week. I think he's done a terrific job, Jamie. I really enjoyed working with him, and I think it's a case of seeing what that looks like. So there's no definite decision on that yet, no.
Brian Tinian was on Robin's TV before the game on Saturday and said that Joe Williams has been offered a new deal. I'm just wondering what your kind of read is on that situation. What do you think might happen there?
I think it's one to... I have to say, once I don't massively get involved in those conversations, I speak with the players, open and honest with the players in terms of what I think and where they're at. Hence, obviously, what I spoke around with Tommy at the weekend. And Joe's done really well, to be fair. And I think, you know, obviously, didn't had a bit of a slow start, I think, here with the volume of games. But when you look at how he's performed to a really good level, he's still in his peak years, really. He's 27, I think. He's still of an age where... Yeah, I think he's still got a point to prove at this level for me, I think, and he started to show that in games where, you know, he's brought moments of you know, real quality. So again, I think he's want him to stay, and it's now with him.
Do you think there'll be competition to get him back?
Most likely, yeah. I think when you look at it, I think, you know, if you only have to look how he's performing, I think anyone that's performing to that level will have interest and demand. But again, I think Joe, he's quite clear, I think, in terms of, you know, he knows how he gets treated, how he gets coached, you know, he sees what we're trying to do. And like I said, I think it's a good place for him.
Going back to Scott, when you said about sort of him playing in the structure, but also playing with freedom, is that kind of why it's good to have the two tens? Because you can kind of play someone like Jason Knight, who is just so busy, who can kind of sort of help, does that help the other 10 get a bit more freedom? Because a number 10 in kind of the modern game is a bit of a tricky position because of the demands off the ball now that perhaps you didn't have 15, 20 years ago or whatever, when the sort of golden era of the 10, if you like. So is that kind of why you do that with the two 10s in your head?
Yeah, I think there's elements to it without getting massively heavy.
Well, no, but that's kind of why I answered. Well,
at the same point, giving away everything we're going to try.
That's true.
That's what I want to do. So I think in terms of what it... For me, it's around occupying spaces and asking questions of the opposition. So we create certain structures and have certain movements to ask the right questions of the opposition. That's what I've said before around the way we coach the players is to give them solutions and options and then pick the right one. Because, you know, if we get the right structure and we have the players free off of it, for me, you can exploit the opposition in certain areas in certain ways. So, Twiney drifting central at the weekend was one that, given how they played with, you know, the outside of their outside midfielders, it just created pockets of space that we felt we could drift into. So, it's then whether they can see it or not. And obviously, naturally, I think with his intelligence, you see that he can. So I think it's like that. Like I said, it's occupying spaces and it's more principles than it is you have to do this. And I think that's the key to it for me in what I like. That for me then creates an element of unpredictability, which we like watching in the game, right? But it also allows us to keep control, which, as you know, is really important to me as well. So it's finding that balance of giving players freedom, but also not giving up complete control.
And so the flip side of Rich's question about how your working relationship, how do you think he's progressed, developed, changed as a player since you had him a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I don't think his strengths have massively changed in terms of what he's really good at. I think you see that at the weekend. He's, you know, the positions he take up and the ways he turns. So he turns the right way for me, you know, and when you're playing in between the lines, you know, just having that awareness of space where pressure's coming from and then putting your body in the way to win the free kick that he scores from. He did a similar thing, obviously, at Norwich. So I think understanding where pressure comes from and then being able to protect the ball, the same as obviously Tommy's penalty, he turns for me the right way because of pressure from behind and he's able to slide it. So I think definitely that. And just the fact he takes risks. I think that, you know, he takes risks in different ways to what profile we had in terms of people taking risks, dribbling and taking players on. He takes risks by trying to slide it or trying to chip it over people or, you know, having shots. And again, I think that for me is the bit, is having blend and balance that complements each player's strengths and weaknesses.
On the penalties, you mentioned it there. You've had quite a few. Third overall in the Championship and four in the last three home games. I think that's right. Why do you think that is? Because it's beyond just like getting the rub of the green, isn't it? There is a sort of, you know, a reason why teams get penalties.
Yeah, no, I think it's getting the ball into the right areas. I think, you know, I think back to some of the games where, you know, we had a lot of the ball but outside the box. I think what we've spoken a lot about is trying to get the ball inside the box and asking questions. So I think it's the big bit for me. I think it's being brave and sliding people in. It's being brave to run. You know, ultimately, the bit we talk to players a lot is we work hard to get the ball into an area, then it's on you guys to, you know, express yourself. But at the same point, I understand, you know, we give them little bits in terms of how to get in certain areas in the box. So I think, yeah, for me, it's not a coincidence. I think it's the players understanding what we're trying to do. I think it's on the players in terms of being brave and taking the risks and trying to get into areas where you can hurt them. And that comes back to me, the bit I've spoken about when we've spoken about identity and style. I think you've started to see it a bit more recently where we've real purpose to our possession. And like I said, credit to the players for taking it on board.
With the off-season, how the players are given a programme as well in the off-season? Like, how hot are you on them in terms of what they've got to do over the off-season before they come back?
We had the meeting this morning, actually, with them. I think we give them everything, but I have a huge amount of trust in them. I've made it quite clear in terms of the expectations of when we do the testing, the screening, and what we expect them to come back like. For me, that I think it's such an intense long year that the last thing they need when they're off is people chasing and hounding them to, have you done this, have you done that, etc., etc. So I think it's players understanding themselves. Some might need that. Some might actually need one of the staff to check in on them to make sure that they're pushed and they're doing it, which, again, is one way of working. Other players, we'll just go and do the work. So I think it's putting in the players' court, you know, the power in them to go, look, this is the expectation pre-season, make sure you meet it. If not, of course, there's consequences, whether it's extra sessions, missing sessions, because you're not, you know, you're at risk of injury, whatever it is. I have to say now, in general, the players come back in such good condition. They're tremendous athletes that, you know, take care of themselves. They're not, a lot of them aren't going away and boozing for 3-4 weeks in the summer. It's very different, I think, the game now to how well they look after themselves. And normally for the goal of if we want to be successful next year, you've got to be able to do as many sessions pre-season as possible. So make sure you come back in this condition, but we're not going to chase and handle them.
Any foods off the table?
Anything? For me or the players?
Or the players, anything bad? Mayonnaise is always the one that people...
The chefs here are unbelievable, to be fair. They're incredible, so... The players are well educated. They know what's right, what's wrong, and everything's about moderation, right?
With when you mentioned as well about in the context of the transfer market and kind of leagues finish, I assume you mean because of leagues and clubs, or they'll finish a different season. I mean, Scott and Burnley being a prime example, still got a few weeks of the Premier League. But does that give you an opportunity to watch any games?
Yeah, I did. I'll probably get out to a few playoff games, and then if there's the scope to maybe go to a few abroad if they fit, and of course I watch a lot of games anyway. Obviously, it's different when you go live in person. So if I can get to some, I will. But yeah, it's a case of, you know, being efficient with your time. I think that's the biggest bit for me. So yeah, I'll definitely get to some games in England, and then if, you know, there's someone that we really feel is worthwhile going to watch, then I'll do that. But there's also a huge amount of trust in the recruitment guys, as they're constantly here, there and everywhere watching games.
And finally, how is the training for next weekend?
Slow. Now, to be fair, I've been out and about, got me new walking shoes, I've been putting some miles in them, so I think, look, it's probably as mental challenge as anything to stay awake for 24 hours and do obviously 10 up, 10 down. So I think, like I said, it'll round the season off nicely, I think, in terms of, I never forget how fortunate we are and how privileged we are with the industry working and in life in general. So again, I think the opportunity to, you know, to go and test ourselves and do something quite difficult and give back is massive. So yeah, like I said, I've been doing a bit, probably not enough, but you know, I've got a good team doing it with me, so hopefully they'll pull us through.
Well, whereabouts have you been walking, people? Because obviously this sort of neck of the woods is well known for its walking routes. Is there any special places?
We've actually done a lot around the city, to be fair, which has been quite interesting because you've got some steep climbs, obviously, up to where, from where we're at into Clifton. So we've been doing a fair few around the city, but family are moving up this summer, so I've been doing a fair bit. I've got a couple of dogs as well, so I do a fair bit back home.
And you mentioned before about sort of cramming, but doing some of the opposition work on the bikes. Given that's coincided with this run, I just wondered if that's something you're going to be taking forward, because actually it's worked out.
Yeah, and no, I will continue it.
Successful.
Yeah, and no, I will continue it. I think it's the biggest challenge, the intensity and the volume of work that we have to go through is what you tend to do is neglect yourself a little bit. So again, I think, you know, if we can jump on the bike for half an hour and code a game while we're doing it and get an idea of the opposition, and at the same point, you know, try and look after our physical mental health a little bit as well, I think that's massive. So yeah, it's definitely something we'll take forward.